Okay, welcome everybody to the April DSR board meeting. I'd like to go ahead and get this started. And Kurt, would you unmute yourself and lead us in prayer?
Heavenly Father, on this holy weekend, I pray that everybody in this meeting can come forth with their thoughts and ideas and be reproachful and cooperative, and may the results of this meeting benefit the ranch as a whole, an entire body united together. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Thank you. Scott.
Yes.
Have you taken a roll call? Would you take a roll call of the board members, please?
John Harris, he's absent and ill, so he's not here today. Cindy Olson, present. Yeah. Kurt Jacobson, he's here. He just had a prayer. Michael Jordison,
present.
Batista, present. Batista, okay. And Larry Clarkson. And he's muted, I think. So he was here earlier. Is Larry back here yet? I think everyone's here except Larry. I mean, except John Harris. So.
Hey. So we do have a quorum. Thanks very much, everybody else that shows up on the Zoom meeting. You will be documented as present in the official record. And again, if anybody is new to our Zoom meetings, it's very helpful if you will identify yourself before you speak when you're called on, when you need to contribute to the meeting. Please state your name. You don't have to state your lot number, but sometimes it's helpful for us to identify you if your name isn't clear. So this is Cindy speaking. What that does is that allows us in our transcript of the minutes to identify who brought up a specific issue, so that if the board needs to get back to them, that can be done. Scott, would you did you get any other feedback on the minutes from last month's meeting?
I just from you and Kurt. So I would like to make a motion that we approve the meetings for March 11th meeting.
I second.
Kurt second that. Any opposed?
I wasn't there, so I have to recuse myself from voting.
That's okay. We still have a quorum.
All right. Approval.
If the board members would go ahead and unmute and stay unmuted if you can.
Aye.
Aye. Great. Okay, I think you got us, Scott.
All right.
Okay, it passed. Thank you.
All right, Michael, do you have a treasurer's report?
Not much. The budget sheet goes out for each meeting. We're about 90% on our assessment, so there are still a few outstanding. There are a few line items that are over budget so far, but as a totality, if you go to the bottom, we're 3 months in, we're one quarter in, and we're just barely over a quarter of our budget. So I think we're on target. Things are looking fine. Is there any specific questions?
I have a question. Have we decided to take has any action been taken on the grossly late assessment accounts?
Not that I'm aware of, no.
Okay.
So
there hasn't been any action taken other than a letter has been sent out stating to contact Cindy to make payment arrangements. Otherwise, the next step would be to send it to Barry. If you want to establish a date, maybe, I don't know, the end of April, as that would be a month and a half that they had that letter and that should be plenty of time for them to respond.
Okay, another
Go ahead. I was just going to ask if there are still two that are more than that are 2 years overdue.
There are four.
Four. Okay.
Yeah. All right. I think we can go ahead and set that date. I've received no communication from any members about it. So. All right. Anything else on your treasurer's report? Any other questions for Michael?
I don't have anything. Unless somebody's got questions.
Then we're going to move on to Kurt, your property management report.
Well, the weather's warming up. I've been knocking snow off the roads where I can. I've made an effort to get up to the ponds. I made it about 100 feet past the last cattle guard before the ponds, and had no desire to get the grader stuck in the snow, so I turned around and came back. I think that was Tuesday. Headquarters is dried out, the parking lot. It's graded, getting ready for gravel. Been able to haul trash again for the last 6 weeks or so. The town dump has been closed, so trash has been piling up at the cabins and headquarters, and so I was able to haul a load yesterday, and I'll probably go again early in the week. We're working on opening up the cabins. They open on the 17th. We have a reservation, I think, somewhere in there. But we've got the snow plowed out and cleaned up, and those are being cleaned and getting ready to open up by next Friday. Cabins 9 and 10. Once again, Scott Kohler came through in a clutch and provided us with cabinets at a very reasonable cost, enough to do both cabins 9 and 10. And I probably have enough to put new cabins in cabin 2 later in the season if time allows. The tile came in. Larry went and picked that up for us in Hurricane. My goal is to have those two showers done in 9 and 10 by Wednesday, at which time we'll be moving on to the countertops and I'll be working with Scott Kohler. He's a volunteer to come up and help us actually put the cabinets together. The doors and drawers and hardware and everything are not on them. So we'll be looking forward to that. And they're coming along and just, they're looking really, really good. Everybody's put a lot of work and effort into them. And the GMC, Larry is going to give me a ride. I'm going to drive it early Monday morning to Bowman's, and they're going to take the rear end apart and see what the issues are. Larry's going to give me a ride back. Until then, the GMC is pretty much, I'm trying not to use it until I know exactly what the repairs are going to entail. And that's about all I got.
Are there any questions for Kurt?
I have two questions. This is Brian, Lot 130.
Hi, Brian.
Hey, I'm looking at the weather forecast going out as far as I can see, and it looks like we're going to be above freezing for the lows. So I would ask what are the plans for reopening the J station?
Based on last year, I did get carried away and I opened the J station too early, and they froze twice, breaking the buckles on there, and they had to be replaced and turned off and drained again. And so I'm looking at the forecast as well and keeping an eye on it, and I see we're warming up Wednesday, Thursday, then we start cooling off again. And it's just when we're consistently in the lows of 40 degrees, then I'll open up the J station.
Okay. I also noticed that I think it's got an inch and a half poly fitting that's cracked. So I think it's going to need some parts too. Rather than
I got
just
that.
Okay. And my second question is my pet peeve that has been going on for years. What are the plans for the slash pot?
Well, Brent and I spoke about that the other day, and he was going to get a hold of Spencer, and we're going to put a plan together and burn that here shortly.
It seems like if we couldn't have burned it this year, then we'll never burn it. I mean, with like 4 feet of snow over the whole ranch, you know, for months.
Well, this was brought up a few months ago by Brent, and who felt that at the time there was too much snow on there to burn it. And he said that he spoke with Spencer about that, and Spencer said that March would be a good time to do it. And here we are now on April 8th, and it's still not done, and it is on the priority list.
Okay, I guess the other option is to crush it all up with, you know, drive a dozer over it and push it into the new location for the slash pile and just forget about burning. Has that been looked at?
It has not.
Hey, Brian and Kurt. I have contacted, I've sent emails to Spencer, I've sent emails to Derek. I have not heard back from either one of them. You guys were both aware of how much snow we had during the month of March. We couldn't even get over to the pile. So I'll make an effort to call Spencer on Monday and get a confirmation of him coming out to inspect, and then we'll just burn it.
Oh, that was, yeah, that was also the inspection side. Yeah, thanks, Brent.
What's our downside of just going to burning? I cleared all the snow around it week before last, so we had access to get to it. And I really was tempted to light it on fire.
Well, look, I'm big on fire. I love fire.
As long as
somebody else's property burning, I'm really happy. I have a really good relationship with Spencer, and March was a freebie month, but we couldn't get into the pile for most of the month. And so I will call him on Monday. I say we burn it next week. If we can't get a hold of anybody, we'll just burn it.
Yay. Hold
on. There are laws and rules associated with it, so we need to comply with them. It's not that hard to get a permission from Spencer to do
it. We'll just post-date the fire. We burned it on March 30th.
It's an easy process to do. There are regulatory requirements, and I know most people here probably don't like rules, but there are some. And so we need to get permission. We need to get a burn permit from the fire warden, which Brent is aware of. It's easy to do, and we can do that. So, but we need to do it.
Yeah, I don't think March 39th is going to fly.
Yes. Thank you.
You're welcome, Brian. Are there any other questions for Kurt on property management?
Yeah, I have a quick one. Kurt, how much fuel is still left in the two fuel tanks?
Well, I don't have a way to measure the diesel, yet. I've just actually been able to actually get to the tank, and I can.
This is leading somewhere.
I have the gas. I can let you know here before the meeting's over. I got to pull some info off my phone.
And how dry is Scootumpaw?
Pretty dry till you get to the last, mile to the ranch, and there's some damp spots. It's all been graded up to headquarters, and actually all the way to the airport is in pretty good condition.
Yeah, it's in real good shape.
All this is leading up to fuel is at its lowest point right now as it's been in many, many months. We have a fuel budget. We have a fuel, yes, the cost of fuel. And we have a fuel budget. Is there enough space that would justify topping off the tanks right now while fuel is at its lowest?
Oh, I got room for about 3,500 gallons in the gas tank.
We can't afford that much, but.
Well, I'm just telling you what space I got.
Yeah, all right. I'm thinking that maybe we should put together a fuel order, and I know Jeff and Tina, you guys have come in on, you know, fuel orders or at least posted about them. If we can put a fuel order in and get it while it's at lowest price, that might be a good thing.
Who does that, Michael? Is that Kurt's job?
I do Kurt's, that. Yeah.
Kurt, okay. Kurt does. That's why I'm bringing it up with the property manager portion of this is he's done it in the past, and I assumed that he would do it now if there's space available. And
Jeff and Tina, if you want to let me know, or anybody else wants to let me know their fuel needs, in the next few days, shoot me an email, and I will put an order together for fuel. I'll get on the budget and.
Yeah, that's what I was just thinking, is piggyback in and everybody can fuel up while it's at its lowest point. Because it's only going to go up from here.
Hey, Kurt, this is Jeff. I don't know that a fuel truck's going to get down Meadow Canyon and up to our place. So
yeah, well, let's see what happens, Jeff, by midweek. It's drying up quite a bit. I went out there. Well, actually, I just went to the gravel pit yesterday, but I'll keep an eye on it, and I'll talk to Mary, and we'll. I haven't been on Broad Hollow lately. What's it like out there right now?
Getting squishy.
Well, squishy's good as long as it doesn't rain.
That was it. If we can put a fuel order in and get it while light prices are low, we should.
Okay. So, Jeff, if you want to get me your fuel needs, I can get that. And whenever we can get the truck out, we'll make sure that you get topped off.
Yeah, I think they'll get out to headquarters fine.
They'll make it to headquarters, but I want to.
Yeah, from there to here might be a bit sketchy.
Yeah, gotcha.
Okay, are there any other questions for Kurt regarding property management?
That would be me.
Yeah.
I've been up for a while.
Okay.
Can somebody hear me out there?
Yeah, just Mark.
Acknowledge me, somebody. Yes.
Okay.
So Kurt, is it Kurt I'm talking to now, or am I talking to you? Who am I talking
to? Kurt, I'm here.
Kurt, I have a question. It seems like since I've acquired my property, most of our equipment is broken all the time. I mean, who actually is the mechanic for Deer Springs?
We don't have a mechanic for Deer Springs, Mark. And what's that?
It's pretty evident you don't.
Right. Yeah. I'm not a mechanic. I'm learning. I do what I can. But a lot of this is just from past non-maintenance issues. The grader is a 1984 770A. It's not a young piece of equipment. The clutch went out on it, you know.
Okay, that's fine.
Go ahead, Mark.
The question is, it seems like you guys, whoever the property manager is, whoever the equipment manager is, you guys need to come up with a plan to either dispose of the equipment that is trash and just move on to contracting most of this out. Either, I don't know, it's just frustrating for me to sit in these meetings and hear how many times our equipment is broken and it can't perform the functions it's designed to do. It's really hard for me to listen to this because I came from a background of all this crap. So it's, I don't know, I just feel you guys have to come up with a different method going forward so our equipment.
Mark, you know, that's a really good point, and living it on my end is just as frustrating.
Yeah,
and if you have that background, boy, I'd love to meet up with you and
give me direction. No, time out. You don't understand, Kurt. I moved here to get away from all that. I'm here to recuperate from my open heart surgery. I don't have the mental capacity or physical capacity to do this anymore. So I just feel that you guys are just treading water out there on the ranch. You really are. That's my 2 cents worth. I'm going to step away.
Thanks, Mark.
Okay, are there any other questions for Kurt on property management? Okay, we're going to move on to new business then. John Harris, unfortunately, is out sick, as is Sunshine. So if you want to, you know, send them thoughts, prayers, messages, I'm sure it would be appreciated. So we're going to go ahead and discuss the roads plan anyway, as far as what are the priorities, because there are people that have input into this, not just John. So I don't know if anybody still has the 2023-24 draft roads plan. I'm going to be referring to that. If it would help, I can put it up on the screen, but then I lose the ability to do any kind of management with the meeting. So,
could you share it in the chat?
Can I? Maybe. Somebody might have to walk me through that.
If you go to chat, there should be a little. I just shared the what I'm going to talk about on there. So if you hit that little page
file button,
you can. Yeah, that page, it looks like a page, at least on my computer it does.
Okay.
And you could just, if it's on your computer, you can select it and drop it in there and people can bring it up on their own.
Cool. Thank you for that. Let's see.
So are we going to be discussing budget on each item, or are we just discussing priorities of each item?
We'll see how the time goes on this. I was hoping we could also get to budget and with fewer people discussing this. Maybe we can. I'm hoping we can. So I'm going to go ahead and just start leading this. If somebody else more qualified, and that's probably the rest of the board and others, wants to take over, that's fine, but I've got information from Kurt on his choice of priorities. Does anybody see anything on this list that is, you know, we do this first, as soon as it's possible to get it done, we do that now? Now, he's already done the repair of the winter damage to the road in the parking area. So that one's done. We can actually take that one off the list.
It still needs gravel.
Oh, it does. Okay. So that one should be a priority because everybody accesses that. Does anybody disagree? Larry, are you still here?
Uh-oh. I still see him.
There.
There we go.
It wouldn't let me unmute.
Okay. I just want to make sure that the people who are most invested in this or have the most to contribute are unmuted for this discussion. So is that the graveling the headquarters? Does that seem like a top priority on this list?
I would believe so, because everybody's in and out of there, and it needs to have some road base added to it.
And it's really the only place we can work on right now.
Okay. So then, next. So, Kurt, you've got next the decision on the permit, and I don't know that that's urgent. It may be important, but we don't really need to move on that immediately, but go ahead. I mean,
I just need approval to go ahead and do the permit. It's 5 minutes. I've already been given verbal permission from the county. I just want it in writing, and I just need to get permission to go forward. That's all.
And is that from Student Paw from the airport to Johnny Brown?
Yes, that's the discussion is starting next year. the county will no longer be plowing from the airport to Johnny Brown from November until the spring. And so in an effort to keep it open for members in Johnny Brown, they said I can get a permit to push snow and also do during season when the roads get really washboardy near the ranch, I can knock those down with our grader.
If the county
can't permission from you.
If the county can't afford to plow that, why should the board members do that?
I'm just putting out there.
Yeah. We've talked about this. I'm opposed to this.
I don't want to leave members stranded or unable to get out there. We have some folks that have animals and they're up every week and,
there's no guarantee of access to any lot.
You're correct. And I put it out there and if we want to vote on it or if we want to handle that is up to everybody else.
You know, if I want to get to my lot and I contract Larry and I pay Larry to plow to my lot, that's one thing. But as a lot owner somewhere else with no guarantee access to my lot, it sounds like we're giving guaranteed access to another lot that we shouldn't.
Okay.
Okay, clearly this needs a little more discussion, and it doesn't even apply until next winter. So I'd like to move it down on the priority list. That's all I'm trying to do with this.
Can I say one thing on that?
Bart?
I don't think, even if it goes down the priority list, we still need to obtain the permit. So they won't give that, they'll typically give that permit to an organization and not an individual. And so we should get the permit, not guarantee anything, because permits are, there's administrative tail there. We need to get it done.
How many months in advance would you say?
I don't know. It's just an agreement you come up with, but it takes time. So we should just do that. Whether we provide the service or not, we need to have the capability to provide the service and we need that permit to have that capability.
All right. So in establishing priorities, is this really our second most urgent, important priority? That's my question.
I think it's administrative, not work. So it should be, I mean, it's work, but it shouldn't be that hard to do.
Kurt said it's
maybe we take it off the list.
Okay.
Maybe we take it off the list of a road plan and move it somewhere else. Okay.
Can you hear me?
I can.
Yes, Vance Green. I don't know. I think two people at once. Don't get the permit unless we intend to follow through. People being people are going to say, you got the permit. Why isn't my road plowed? Don't do it. I understand what you're saying, but people are not reasonable. You can't count on them to say, oh, okay, you got the permit. Well, I'll wait until you figure out what you're going to do with it.
Tabling this discussion so that we can continue with the roads.
Fair enough.
We can discuss this further. I know that people have opinions and we need to hear them. But right now we're trying to get the draft roads plan prioritized and budgeted.
May I interject really quick to answer a previous question?
Okay.
We have 383.8 gallons by my calculations in the fuel tank.
Thank you, Kurt.
Thank you.
And that's gasoline?
Yes, ma'am.
All right, so that item about the permit has been tabled, and what is the next item on the draft roads plan that we see as a got to do it right away, it's most important?
I would say the culverts, the beginning with the Crawford Meadow Canyon Junction that washed out twice last year and the year before. Mm-hmm. And then we have the culvert. We have everything we need. I went and checked on it the other day. There's 3 feet of standing water in that trench. So we need to let that dry out. But when I'm able to, that would probably be the next major project. I spoke with Larry about pulling out the 3 foot one in one piece for me so we can push that up past the Crawford turnoff, which is another problem area. And then there's the 60 inch one, which we still have to put a budget to, and that's in Larry's lap there. Those are probably, they're the same type work, same equipment, same everything. We might as well try to knock out all three of those at once.
What say you, Larry?
I agree with the timing of it. The thing that everybody has to understand is almost everything at the ranch is being pushed back at least a month from traditional timing, simply because of the lovely winter we're having this spring. We're going to have a hard time getting to some of these places
anytime soon. The BLM campgrounds, I mean, they've postponed the opening of many of the campgrounds because there's just too much snow. And that impacts us as well as being able to get to it. So.
Okay. So the gravel pit to Broad Hollow Turnoff Road, does that come before these or after them?
I think they're probably going to be accessible to clean up that section of road before, simply because the culverts, it's important to get to those culverts, like Kurt said, but we're going to be dealing with massive spring thaw runoff. Those are going to be carrying water, and that's just barely starting right now.
Okay, I'm sorry. So are you saying we move the gravel pit to Broad Hollow turnoff repair, put that earlier than the culverts because we would need that section of road to do those culverts? Or are you saying do that after the culverts are done?
I think we're gonna need to do that section of road in kind of two phases, but to start, it's going to be drying out enough to be graded and shaped. I would say probably sooner than the water flow is going to allow us to dig in. I mean, you literally can't go dig out old culverts and add new culverts while it's flowing.
Okay, so that will become item two at this point on the priority list, moving the culverts to 3, 4, and 5.
Now, I want to point in, Larry and I also discussed that we probably want to put on the section from the gravel pit to Broad Hollow, a larger culvert there. And as far as shaping goes, of course, that's going to include ditching, but John's not here, but we did discuss that we probably want to put a larger culvert there because that is quite a volume of water. And especially during the monsoon season, that whole road, that whole area floods, even though the culvert is flowing properly.
Does that mean we need to add in the resources still needed column a culvert for that repair?
Yeah, I think I put that in my notes to you on that particular part.
All right. What size culvert?
That's to be determined. That's Larry's question.
Well, Larry's here.
I have not been out because it's not my area, but I don't know. Do we have any culverts still up in the well field?
No.
Okay.
I have one 16-inch culvert up in Crawford at the very end by Dan Wirtz.
Yeah, that's too small.
Yeah, and that belongs up high.
Yeah.
So we have no culverts. We're completely out. I've got the 48-inch that I purchased in the fall for the Crawford Junction, and then we have another 48-inch in the well field, and that's all we have. We've used everything else up. The 236-inch that I had, those are what I used in the gravel pit last year.
Okay. The one that's in the gravel pit, did we ever determine what size it is, the old one?
The old one, I think, is 24 inches.
That may work. Maybe I'll get that one. I'll dig that one out. That would be adequate for that. We're going to call it the Jeff and Tina culvert.
Okay.
And we haven't planned to put those anywhere else? I thought we had.
They are underground. They're buried. They're the ones that were obsolete in the gravel pit. And so they're available. It's just a matter of retrieving them.
Okay. Where did you say they're located right now?
At the gravel pit.
Okay. Great. Okay, we've got, there's some preventive maintenance listed. Is that, a lot of that is cleaning out the culverts?
Yeah, a lot of the.
But you're going to have to wait till the water starts flowing to do that, right? Stops flowing, right?
Right. Well, I put that in June 1st-ish.
Okay.
On there. When it dries out enough and.
Some of that can be done. I think this is going to be a determination. It's going to have to be evaluated on a day-to-day basis because culvert maintenance and cleaning them out could be done and is actually better to be done when they're flowing because that helps wash out and clean out the entire culvert. So, for instance, Kurt and I kind of cleaned out the small culvert where the Crawford Road joins Meadow Canyon Road was completely plugged, but we unplugged it while it was flooding and flowing last fall. We're going to take it out and replace it with a bigger one, but that's a perfect example of it's better to do the culvert, the catch basins, and cleaning them while there's water flowing through them. That way it prevents somebody having to crawl through a hole. We'd have to recruit Tina Collins. She's the only one.
I was going to say this, Katina.
Okay, so I'll move that one up on the priority again, and then we'll know that there's some we can do now and some we cannot. But we'll have to wait.
We can evaluate this the next week. Kurt and I both are going to be working on trying to get snow cleared up. Literally right now, if we just waited for nature to take its course, you would not be able to get to the upper cabins until June 1st.
Woo-hoo. Okay.
So we're going to try and get the snow plowed out of there so we can start getting the roads dried and we can get access to them. And I know I have work to do in cabin 4. I got all the materials for it too. I need one day in there, and then I need to address Cabin 2's rodent issue.
We're on roads right now, buddy.
Oh, sorry. Well, road 2 said projects.
Okay. So the work camper pads and then the member RV pads, we'd like to get the member RV pads in so we can start making money on those, bringing more money into the ranch, but we really do need to get the ability for work campers to come in. Now, my understanding is there's only going to be one, maybe two work campers immediately. By immediately, I mean sometime in May when we can haul a big rig up in there.
I'm going to stop you there and ask the question, why are these part of roads? These are special projects. I don't think they should be part of the roads budget. And I don't think they should impact the roads budget. These are revenue generating and work campers helping us. I don't think these belong in roads. My two cents.
Okay, we've put them in roads because it uses gravel. It uses the equipment, the same equipment, the same people, the same, all of that. And I see your hand, Mark, and we're going to do a little more discussion here before we start taking member input, if that's okay. We certainly can move it if it for a budgeting purpose, but because it takes the same equipment and resources, we kind of want to have it here in the plan so it doesn't conflict. Yeah, go ahead, Bart.
I would concur with Michael on this. It is not a road. I mean, the roads to get there are roads, but it's not a road. Even though it uses the same equipment, the budget's different. Funding, because budget and funding source should be different, it needs to be treated.
I don't know that it is. Yeah. I don't know that it is. I think it's.
But maybe it could be. So that's
the question. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I get that. I'm not sure I want to start that whole thing.
I know.
Separate them out and then try to, you know. So
Let's leave it here for now, but that's fine. I just wanted to voice that I think this is separate, and maybe we'll determine where to pull that money from later and save the other money for roads that's needed. So
okay, I thought we had already included it in the budgeting for the year in this category, which is why it's showing up. Okay.
I don't know. That I don't know. All right.
Okay.
Go on.
Maybe not. Kurt, do you have more enlightenment for us?
On the RV?
The budgeting for, was Rose? The money, huh?
I don't have anything. I didn't have, John Harris just asked for more money in roads. He was given more money in roads. I don't know what his intentions were for that extra funding.
Okay.
But, you know, yeah. I mean, that's something we probably just need to discuss more.
Okay.
With John here.
So we will go ahead and take that off. If the budgeting isn't, if it's not already included in the budget, then we can go ahead and take that off of this list.
Yeah, I have it on my Google Sheets under special projects.
Okay.
That's where it is on my sheet as well as special projects. All right,
great. Cool. Then that made that easy. Okay, we've got Skoomha from the airport turnoff to the Johnny Brown turnoff. Oh, that's the permit. We've discussed that. The installing a cattle guard in the headquarters entrance. Is that just a later summertime project?
Yeah, that's why I put it kind of at the lower end. First, we got to get to them. Again, snow. And then Kevin Ballard has offered to help dig up some material, and we need to probably widen those, and that's going to be Brad Hunt and Kevin Ballard call on how wide they want them to be. But we need to widen them, but they're like, you know, yes, that's something. With regards to an earlier discussion about, you know, utilizing the land for, you know, the Deer Springs common area. The common area is all rented, at least out to the cattle company. And I have been working for the last 3 years to secure headquarters and to secure the area that cattle are not allowed. And the last step of that is going to be putting in that cattle guard. And then we have areas that we can do other things as members, as a group, with headquarters. And it's just...
Okay.
Yeah,
okay, on the roads, though, so this is part of the road. But that's going to come after all of the repairs and the culverts that we've talked about.
That's going to come.
Priority.
Well, some things you're just going to have to fit in when you can fit them in. I mean, you can't write a schedule around the weather.
Well, that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to write a plan, and I understand that the weather is going to impact it. And so this is just to guide us.
Right.
We're just trying to get this done so we can send it out and say we're done. Okay, so, I mean... Get it done.
Those cattle guards are currently in Pipeline Canyon, and so it's going to be a matter of when can I get to them in the snow. It's not worth the ranch paying an extra time to go just get them, and I'm not willing to continue to do lots and lots of stuff for free.
Well, just wait it dries out, and when I can get to them, we get them and get it done.
Okay, so we have the Broad Hollow Neighborhood Road Improvement Project on the list as well. And I'm assuming that would come somewhere before or after the headquarters entrance?
Yes, before headquarters entrance.
Okay. And that does leave us with, Slide Canyon, I'm not sure there's actually a plan yet or... any decisions on how that's going to be repaired. We haven't gotten any kind of a request at this point from Slide Canyon members for anything in specific. Is that correct? Is that right?
Correct. I've actually been doing quite a bit of work over there because I've got ongoing jobs, and I'm keeping some people open, you know, those that pay me to keep the snow cleared in and out, because the snow has been cleared, that means they're dry. That means they're shapeable. And so I've been just talking with John and doing some of the cleanup there where the moisture allows it. But the lower part of Slide Canyon is currently dry and better than the county road. But as soon as you hit the clay, about where you hit Deer Springs Ranch private property, it's a clay fest, and we'll stay that way for another 2 weeks until it dries out substantially.
Is there a plan in place at all? Has there been a plan talked about improving those roads?
No. No, and so maybe right now is the best time to really just quickly mention to all the members that are on and who may listen to this, Deer Springs Ranch Owners Association road budget is a simple maintenance budget to provide kind of a one-time-a-year grading. Anything over and above and beyond that is going to have to be funded through special projects or by neighborhoods, such as the Broad Hollow Group have funded improvements that will not only directly benefit them because they travel in and out of there to their personal lots, but all of the ranch members that travel in and out and through Broad Hollow to get to Slide Canyon or from Slide Canyon to Meadow Canyon or wherever. So anybody that wants or is concerned about particular areas of Crawford or Podunk or Slide Canyon or Pipeline Canyon, they need to be the ones that instigate, this is what we would like, or this is what we need. And definitely, if it's something you need, you're going to have to participate on paying for it, because the DSROA, the annual assessment portion of the budget that goes toward roads, only gets you what you've gotten in the past. And that's all it's going to ever get you in the future, unless we make drastic changes to what we do with the budgets. That's the end of my little spiel.
That's information everybody needs, Larry. Okay, then it looks like we have got this priorities sorted out. Michael, what do you need from us for budgeting this? How can we help you?
I don't know.
Just pay for it all.
I've gone through this list and put my numbers to it, and I don't even know if they're realistic. I mean, I don't know if that's something we need to do in a general board meeting, or if that's something, since, and Larry, I'm going to single you out. Quite a bit of this is going to be contracted out, just the boots on the ground to get some of this done, you know, and maybe that's just, you know, negotiation and bidding it out and working through it. So I don't know. I don't know that hashing out numbers like that in a general meeting like this is the appropriate place to do it.
Okay.
Anybody else have a differing?
So we've been promising the membership a roads plan, and it absolutely should have budgeting information attached. So I think we need to discipline ourselves to get the budgeting on this in writing so that we have a final plan to present to the membership.
Like I said, I've got my numbers right in front of me. If you want to go down the list, I'll give you my numbers, but I don't know that they're realistic.
I think it would be at least a starting point, and we can say that's reasonable, or that's too high, too low, or gosh, wow, we need a punt.
Okay. All right, here's...
Before you get started, Michael, throw out your numbers and... Board members, if you have a strong objection or you think it's way off, let's say needs more discussion as opposed to, you know, a 3-hour discussion of it here. It's just kind of a quick, yeah, that's pretty close, or that's too far away. Yes, Bart.
It seems really hard for us to, he throws out a number and us say, yeah, that's off the mark or not off the mark. You know, there's typically a bit more analysis required for that. So I think,
I'm going to include the analysis part.
Okay. All right.
So if I'm not thorough enough, you can correct me. So we'll go back. And before others who were involved in emails where I made calculation mistakes. Those have been corrected before you chime in. All right. So headquarters, which is first on the list. Driveway is 512 feet by 25 feet wide, which is 79 yards. Parking area is 280 feet by 56 feet, which is 97 yards. This is only 2 inches deep. It's 176 yards total. That's 29 trips from the gravel pit with our measly 5-yard dump truck. Maybe that can be contracted out with someone with a bigger dump truck to get it done faster. But that's 44 miles round trip. We already have the gravel. We paid for it. We've already screened it. So we're just looking at about Kurt's time as the property manager and around $300 in fuel. So there's headquarters. keep Kurt busy. Installing the cattle guards, I didn't have any clue other than the fuel for the equipment, and I threw $100 at it because I didn't know any better.
That's probably pretty accurate. I'm going to need some hardware for a gate. That's about it.
Okay. So maybe throw $200 at it just to be safe, and
okay.
That's covered. Crawford Metter Canyon intersection. Remove and replace, and that's the key here. Remove is extra labor. Just adding and putting in, I mean, if you're removing something, it's going to take, especially with a culvert, and you got to be a little more careful not to damage it if you're going to reuse it somewhere else.
That's why I want Larry to do it.
So I put 4 days at 150 per day, or 150 per hour, which comes out $4,800. And the 2 new culverts, whether we have them, whether we don't, I put $5,000 down because we paid for them at some time.
We paid for them last, well, we've had the 48 inch for years, and I bought another one last fall. We're all set.
And that's fine. We did pay for them at one time, so it's part of this budget that I'm just itemizing out. So that's $9,800 to do Crawford Meadow Canyon Junction.
I would say, I mean, those are real world numbers. Instead of 4 days, it should be 2 days.
Okay.
There's a lot of, Larry and I walked that last fall, and Larry gave me some really good direction on that. And before any cattle guard gets pulled or pushed or anything, there's a lot of excavation work that needs to be done in there. And so that's something I can get done and do all the preparatory work ahead of time. And then it's a matter of pulling the old one, putting in the new one.
You want to change that to 2 days, Larry?
Trying to kind of protect our budget from
salt.
But in the same time, Larry, I'm going to put this out there, and you shouldn't be doing stuff for free. You need to make a living. You're working. You're supplying your equipment when you're doing this, and you need to be paid for your work.
What I would propose is the only thing that I really need to be involved in, or somebody, a competent operator machine, to remove the existing culvert so they can be reused. And I would be willing to do that more like for $1,500, and then give Kurt some guidance on what he needs to do on the upstream control, preparing where the water comes in, and that's all on his time that we're already paying him for. It's just a matter of, does he have the time, or where should he be spending his time?
Okay, and I'm good with that. So we'll reduce that one down to $1,500 for now. And I'm going to leave the $5,000 there for the 2 culverts. Not necessarily that it impacts this year's budget, but more of a placeholder that we spent the money at some point in time to pay for those culverts.
And it gives us an idea of what future projects will cost.
There you go. Yes. All right. Crawford Canyon, Meadow Canyon intersection. Again, we're remove and replace. So, Larry, you're going to change these numbers because I did 3 days at 150 per day, 3,600, one culvert. And I put down 2,500 just in case the culvert isn't reusable once we pull it out. If it gets nicked or whatever. Do you want me to reduce that one to 1,500 for the removal?
Yes.
Okay.
I actually did quite a bit of work there last year.
I saw that.
Because I ended up there and had a couple of hours to kill and still had fuel in the tank. And so I went ahead and played Tonka Tractor for a while. So you're welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you, Larry.
Thank you, Larry. All right.
So back Forest Gate, the 360-inch culverts. And again, I just threw numbers at these. And that one, I think, is a mess. I think that one's going to take a lot more effort. I put 10 days down at $150 per hour, $12,000, three culverts at $6,000. And that's Larry giving us the bargain price of, and like I said, you haven't put numbers to these. So this is just my throwing it out there for those 50-inch culverts at $3,000 apiece. So that's the big one that I thought was going to take the most of the budget.
So I have the culverts. I got them used, and I have a price on them of $1,500 a piece.
Okay.
I have my little 12, 21, 24, 32, 36, 48, and 60-inch culverts that I bought on a big auction. And so I have the three culverts.
Okay.
The price is $1,500 a piece. It is going to take probably 4 days. Again, at the it will be multiple pieces of equipment, and so I would say let's just go with $2,000 a day on equipment for 3 days.
All right. As much as I hate to do this, I'm going to override you with this a little bit. And I'm going to add a little more to this buffer because I think that one's going to be full of rock and sticky. And so you said 4 days at what? So you said 6,000?
2,000 a day.
2,000 a day for 4 days is 6,000, right?
Eight.
Hey, my math. This is why we talk it out. My math. So eight. All right, we'll leave it at eight.
I can tell you this: if that project was bid out to an excavation company, the price of the culverts, the excavation that needs to be done to divert that and cross the main road and then get it back in the other channel to feed into the Red Reservoir, I can guarantee you it would be a $25,000 bill minimum.
And that's about where I was $20,000, $22,000, something like that. Yeah.
What I would like to see is and I'm not trying to – obviously, I do not need any additional – projects, but I'm willing simply because I have the ability, I have the knowledge, I have the equipment, and I have a vested interest in things at the ranch. I would like to do this project and solicit help from a couple of other ranch people that would like to be involved and earn a day or two or three's worth of wages and goodwill. And so,
Larry, I'll give you a hand.
Thank you, sir.
And you let me know when it's done, and I will volunteer my time as well. Because this is the gate we come in and out of.
Yeah.
This is where we we come in and out of the ranch through there, so I know how big of a mess it is. All right.
I'm a little concerned.
John Reed would be interested in helping too.
What's that?
I'm assuming John Reed would be interested in helping.
Yeah, I think
as
he
well.
Would. He's expressed that in the past. My concern maybe, with that particular project is that we have a huge amount of snow, water in the mountain, and when that starts coming down, we really can't do this project until it's thawed out, and I'm a little fearful of what that's all going to do to that area of the ranch. I mean, I don't think members really can comprehend unless they've seen some of the pictures that I've posted, but we have a chance to have some significant erosion, flood damage over and above what we've experienced in the last 20 years, 30 years of the ranch.
So it's going to get worse before it gets better.
Yes, sir.
To put numbers to that, Larry, as we snowmobiled up to the Pink Cliffs, and we were going over sections that were 13, 14 feet deep.
Well, just for information, Ron Benson lives on the top of the ridge in the top of Slide Canyon, one of the highest lots on the ranch. There's only three other spots on the ranch that are higher in altitude, and Michael Jordison's pretty close to one of those. Because of Ron's health, because of his mechanical breakdowns and failures, I have plowed into him twice this winter. And the last time I was plowing through 15 feet. If you know where the red-topped cabin is, it used to belong to Dale White, and I've forgotten now who owns it. My dad bought it and sold it and bought it and sold it. But between the red-topped, red-roof cabin and Ron Benson's house, that ridge, I was on top of the snow, most of it. But when I broke through, I couldn't get out without going all the way to the bottom and pushing snow off the cliffs. And when I was done, it was 15 feet tall.
Ow. There's a lot of snow.
Lower Slide Canyon, I cleared a pad so I can pour concrete in 2 weeks, and it was 9 feet tall.
I got a picture of that one.
All right. On to gravel pit to Broad Hollow turnoff. Damage repair. And all I did was calculate the cubic yards in road base. It's 3,900 feet, 25 feet wide, 2 inches deep, is 600 cubic yards. And we have pretty close to that amount screened, so it's going to be just fuel. And I threw $1,000 of fuel at it for the grader and the dump truck to be able to go in and out.
Real quick. I'm sorry to back up, but did we end up with a number for the forest gate?
Oh, yes. $8,000 for labor for basically excavation, removing and replacing the culverts.
Okay.
And $4,500 for the culverts.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Major road repairs. My consideration was setting aside 10,000 of the budget to the unknown, because we have no clue what we're in for with this year's runoff. And another 5,000 I set aside for the preventative maintenance of the culverts, and I think that one's a little bit high, but it got us pretty close to where we needed to be. I think we're still mostly within budget. But these fuel, I mean, we've got a fuel budget that I look at and view as our day-to-day driving with the trucks, the basic maintenance. But when we're specifically targeting the grader to roads, and this is why it's important to keep track of the fuel used on the roads for the trucks and the grader, is that fuel should be coming out of the roads budget, not out of the general fuel fund. So I'm going to rely on you, Kurt, a little bit that we can separate that out and apply the fuel, because we spent a ton of fuel last year, but we don't know where it went. Did it go onto the roads? Did it go onto the general use of the equipment going out. And this way we can kind of break it down and articulate where the money's actually going. All right. Those were all of my numbers on the things that I thought we would actually get to.
Okay, so one last item here is on the Broad Hollow Neighborhood Road Improvement Project. We have agreed to give them money for fuel for any equipment that's used. And we have not come up with, we decided that it was going to be a discretionary amount from the roads, Director of Roads budget. We right. do not have a number. And I would like for us to, you know, create a number for that. Now, is it fair to do that without John here? I don't know. I know that he has, in general, said okay to 1,000 or 1,500. Do we want to do that, or do we want to wait until we have him present?
I'm going to defer to that one because I think John should have an input on all of this. But I threw out my numbers.
I agree.
And fortunately, this is a plan. So yeah. It's not in concrete. And I certainly have input.
I think holding to what's been done in the past and saying 1,500, but
I don't think John would have a problem with us saying something along those lines, you know, $1,500 to $2,000. His position has always been, hey, it would cost me more to hire Norris or whoever to come and blade and fix this or work on this. I'm money ahead in my budget to go ahead and pay the Podunk group or the Broad Hollow group $2,000 to help them get done what needs to be done rather than try to bring in somebody else. So.
Okay, do we want to go ahead and raise, and I say raise because I hadn't heard this number thrown out before, his discretionary budget to 2,000, or do we want to say for this project, for a neighborhood project like this, he's got $2,000. And then for his discretionary, we bring it back to 1,000 or 1,500.
We're just talking about this roads plan, okay. Nothing else at this time.
Okay. So
the only thing I ask is if we're using ranch fuel, that the time is tracked on the equipment for what it was used for, you know, how many gallons went into each equipment. Let's at least track where the money went, not just offer up a check at the end of all this to somebody because they supplied whatever.
Okay, so that's communication that needs to go out to the Broad Hollow project members so they understand they need to be tracking.
I just want accountability for where the fuel went. Or where the equipment, that's it.
That's fair.
And my understanding is that the Broad Hollow group have talked to me about doing part of that, and I've given them a price per hour or per day for my equipment. I do not think that any of the ranch fuel is going in any of my machines. I'm doing what I do. The ranch is providing a budget or an allowance for fuel that will be used in
ranch equipment.
Or toward Broad Hollow Road in the ranch grader or the ranch backhoe to load gravel or the ranch dump truck. Whatever is used there by whoever uses it or however that goes about. I just don't want to have some misunderstanding that they're paying me and I'm getting money, I'm getting fuel from the ranch.
No. I totally agree. Thank you for making that clear.
Okay.
Can somebody make a motion that we put a cap of $2,000 on accounted for fuel expenses for this neighborhood project?
I will make a motion that we set that allowance for this project at this time with the information we have at this point at $2,000 and go from there.
I'll second it.
All right. Thank you, Michael. And Kurt, you need to unmute yourself. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Any opposed? Motion carries. Cool. looks like we got our business done. Okay, now, are there any members that want to weigh in, contribute, have something to say about the draft roads plan, which is soon to not be draft? Okay, then we're moving on to water systems report. Bart, did you have something you wanted to share with us?
Yes, I did. We have two water projects going on right now. One is the water rights analysis being done by a third party. We've had a couple meetings with the gentleman from Riley Water Consulting. He doesn't have a report yet for me. He plans to have, a memo complete yet. He plans to have that done in a week or two, and he'll get the draft to me. Preliminarily, on some of our, in our meetings and our analysis, people need to know that we do have some risk to our water rights, and that's what he's going to be articulating in those memos. And he's going to be making recommendations on what we need to do to protect those water rights. So more to follow there. More importantly, for our water system, for those of you that aren't aware, we have had a significant deficiency from inspections last year. And we basically don't have sufficient water pressure at our private connections. The connections for lots 144, 146, 147, 143, and 145. Sorry, I didn't say that in order. And so we have to come up with a solution to that. And we have contracted with Sunrise Engineering. They are working on that project right now. They've come up with a preliminary plan. I've included a PDF diagram of that concept plan in the chat so members can take a look at that. In discussions with the water committee, some of the issues that we identified for us to, moving the existing tank to a higher location might not be feasible because just the condition, potential of damaging the tank, it didn't seem to make sense. Also, if we move the water tank to a higher elevation, that's the water tank for the main ranch headquarters to a higher elevation, or put a booster pump on that water tank to pressurize all lines, we might get too much pressure and cause there's some second, third order effects or impacts to our connections at our lower cabins and the ranch headquarters that we didn't want to have to deal with. Additionally, a booster pump at the 40,000 gallon tank that would provide pressure to those lots. The issue with that is one large booster tank would require a generator. We'd have issues of fuel costs, certain things like that. So we really wanted to have a gravity feed system as much as possible for that. So the solution we're looking at is a secondary tank that's going to be located on – that would be located on lot 144 that would provide – that would have a water supply line to all
of those lot 144.
Yeah.
I'm sorry?
That's where they're talking about putting the tank.
Somebody's not muted.
Marco, you're not muted.
Sorry, guys. No worries. Apologize.
No worries. We had looked at putting that water tank on lot 145. The only issue is, if we put a lot first off, that wouldn't solve lot 145's pressure issues because you would have zero pressure as gravity feed at that point of connection because that lot is the pad that we were looking at locating the tank would be, or that was a potential siting option, would have same place as the house line or as potential house would be. Now we have to we're required by code to have 20 pounds of pressure at the point of connection. And you can't do that if you're at the same elevation. So kind of a more cost-effective solution is to put a 10,000-gallon tank on a pad that's at the north end of Lot 145. We gravity feed water to the other lots, 143, 144, 146, 47, 48. And then we have a solar pump that pushes water up to 145 and provides that 20 pounds of pressure at the connection point. To keep that secondary tank full, we would also need another solar pump to bring water up from the main tank to the secondary tank. Again, it seems a bit, the biggest issue we have really is we don't have Garkane power. We don't have power. Everything we have to do is run off a generator, propane gas, and that's a big constraint for us. So we're trying to work around those issues. So this is just a tentative solution on there or that we have in place. We're going to, I'm going to get a formal write-up from Sunrise Engineering. It should be due sometime next week. And then I'll have a meeting with the water committee and we'll go over that. And then also the lot owners will take this formally to the lot owners and discuss it with them. So that's kind of where we're at right now. Any questions?
Hey, Bart, this is Gary in lot 144.
Yeah.
One of the lots, now that I just found out, it's going to be going on my lot. And one of the things that I do have issue with is that when I did sign the letter for you guys to look at the different areas, I asked to be a part of any and all meetings, and I haven't heard anything from anybody. And then I get shared today with the concept drawing and the location of it. And I know that it's preliminary, and I can Google and see exact where I can kind of have an idea where you guys are wanting to put the new tank. But I think that it's very important moving forward that you guys include me in that, being that my lot is being impacted.
I will.
Okay.
I'm sure that's an oversight that was unintentional, and our apologies go out for that.
Well, it was in the letter of, I'm not beating a dead horse here. It's just a matter of communications are not real clear out at the ranch, all right? And that's unfortunate. But when it has something to do with my lot and I take the time and it's impacting us to write the letter to express my concerns and some suggestions, and then I don't hear anything, and then all of a sudden I get a plan and being told, it's very concerning to me how things work out there. So I will work with you, Bart, and with Sunrise Engineering to make sure that the location of this tank on our property is going to be, you know, feasible for everybody involved.
Okay, we'll do. And just so you know, also, I mean, one of the big delays is we'd like to get out and do a site walk. We just can't because of snow.
I understand. Truly, I understand.
Yeah. So, all right.
So, Bart, do you have his email so he can be added onto that list when meetings are held? Notification.
I'm sure I do. But if you want to chat that, if you want to send that to me, I can. At the
do that, Bart.
Email, I can.
I'll send it to you. We plan on being out there on the 17th, so I'd like to meet with you out there as well when we're out there.
Okay. Perfect.
Awesome. That's all I have. Thank you.
Okay.
Any other questions for Bart regarding the two water projects?
Solar lift pumps, are they battery backup, or are they just going to be pumping when the sun's out? What was the thought process there?
Well, I'm sure they're battery backups. Typically, solar would do a battery, but I'll look at the – he's provided some RPS solar pump, you know, options, and so we just need to select the right ones for that. RPS is a brand.
The only reason I ask is pressurizing the existing line with a solar battery compressor setup seems – you said it was looked at, so I'll leave it at that. But I feel that – anyway.
So, no, I understand. So I think your question is, you know, the unreliability, correct?
My question is the cost feasibility, just pressurizing the line with an air tank and a solar system with battery backups is going to cost a lot less than a 10,000-gallon tank. Pressurizing the existing line, backflow prevention, back to the 40,000-gallon tank, coming into that existing line and pressurizing it. But I'm not a water expert. I'm just logically thinking through it.
One of the issues that we have is, you know, typically demand is going to be if we have to plan and engineer for demand of all connections.
Correct.
And so gravity is the most reliable for that.
Correct.
Otherwise, and solar wouldn't work. You know, the reason why we have solar to lift water as necessary to a tank works. To fill up a tank that then does gravity feed to everything else. Providing pressure or a 20 PSI connection point to a single residence is more feasible with one of these pumps than to all of them. So I am an engineer, but I don't do this on a daily basis. And so we're kind of relying on the experts who do this on a daily basis to make these recommendations for us. And so again, we're working through it right now. We don't have a final answer.
Agreed. I just want to make sure that a pressurized line at the 40,000-gallon tank has at least been explored.
And
not discounted, you know, simply due to the fact that it might have a gas-powered backup generator.
The Water Committee met with the engineers. The issue with a booster pump at the 40,000-gallon tank, one of the problems is having to have primary and backup power for it.
Yeah.
Secondly, the maintenance issues, as you know, we don't have the most robust maintenance program because of cost and access. There's a bunch of reasons. And so as we kind of discussed about the road issues and the vehicle equipment issues. So that was one that it was not looked at for further analysis just because of those other issues. Ben,
I'm just asking, that's all.
Understood. Ben, you have a question?
Yeah, actually, or some information. So many of you may know that I'm in the solar industry. I sell commercial solar projects for a living. I think it's worth pointing out, I think it's some good news here, the tax credits that in the past for solar projects were not available for nonprofits can now be paid directly to nonprofits. And I've looked up Deer Springs Ranch, and the area qualifies for up to 60% tax credits on any solar projects. And so the solar pumps that you guys are talking about, the batteries associated with them, all that stuff can be applied for on the various tax credits, and I'm happy to work through it with the association and get 60% of that cost paid for. So just want to throw out that potential good news for you.
No, that's great.
Yeah.
That's really great.
We'll have to look into that for the electrical building project too.
That's a kind of a different conversation. But Ben, I'd be interested in chatting with you on that.
Yeah, happy to. In fact, I've been doing this. We're actually seeing some projects. I'm going to even throw a little bit more into it. Now, some of this is stuff that we need to really look into and dive into the detail. There's applications, right? It's not all guaranteed, but you can apply for it and often get it. So in addition, these solar projects are qualifying for USDA grants now as well that are between 25 and 50% of the project costs. We are seeing some customers literally get 100% of all solar projects approved and paid for. So this could be, you could think about something like a pavilion, right? A solar pavilion, you can have electric tractors under there. You can have the electric 4x4s. You can have electric snowmobiles. There's all kinds of things and literally covered at 100% of the cost, so long as they are for ranch type operations, whether agricultural or cattle or whatever, like things like that, they qualify for these USDA grants. in addition, then you combine it with the solar tax credits. And anyway, we're just seeing some amazing results on that front. So I thought I'd bring that up, and we should look at, I think the DSR should look into it.
So we could get a big Tesla truck and mount a snowplow on it. And
your new toy.
I might be able to, but you have to, it'd be the Ford F-150, the new electric vehicle. And there's some really interesting things, right? Because then our fuel costs would go down dramatically. You would literally be producing fuel out at the property all through the winter, all through the summer, for all kinds of different vehicles. Yeah. Snowmobiles, trucks, everything, bumps.
Interesting concept. Thank you so much, Ben.
I mean, for future discussion, but you know, I've looked at, you know, electric vehicles and I was now analyzing usage at Best Friends of going to an electric fleet, and you can take the cost of electricity, is so much cheaper than fuel. I mean, you can really save a lot of money in the long run, but you just need to work it into your capital investment program. Otherwise, you're throwing a lot of money out there right away. Anyways.
Yeah. I think it's probably worth knowing, though, that one of the things with these tax credits is you do have to come up with the money up front, right? So let's just say you did some type of solar pavilion or the solar pump, whatever it is, you've got to pay for it up front and then apply for the tax credits, right? So you've got this period of, let's say, 6 months to 12 months when you file your taxes that you have to wait, and then you get all your money back. So there is that component that you just need to be aware of. So it could be temporarily heavy on a cost.
Yeah. Okay. Any questions? Hey. Sorry, Thimble.
Yeah, Bart.
Do you have anything else?
Hey, Bart. It's Marco Parado. How you doing?
Yeah, good. How are you doing?
Question for you on the water system. Is there a timeline on this, or do we have a deadline date? We have to have this completed.
So the deadline date with the state is 1 August. In discussions with Sunrise Engineering, they're actually in the process of doing similar sort of significant deficiency, or working with other small water systems that have significant deficiencies. And the state really will extend the deadline out as long as you have a plan in place. So we need to get a plan in place. We'd like to get something done as soon as possible, but we need to, if we can have a engineered solution that we're looking to fund, or we're in the process of designing, that goes a long way with the Division of Drinking Water to, you know, extend our deadline. So that's what we want. If we can't get something installed in time, we have good footing to push the no later than date to the right.
Gotcha. Okay, thank you.
This is Gary Clark again, Lot 144. I have another question in regards to, once that line is put in, who will be responsible for the connections to the existing lots that have already made connections?
So we would install the line to that. We would bring that new line to the existing connections.
So the homeowner, the lot owner, is going to have to bear the cost of the reconnecting them.
I don't think we've even had those discussions yet, but my assumption is
that those are the things that I do have that I want to bring up, and I'm bringing up now that should have been brought up 2-3 months ago. So
yeah, no, I mean, I assume that, I mean, an assumption that I made, I hadn't, you know, you have those that have a connection now, we would bring that new line to that connection and connect it. But
for instance, Marco has a backflow preventer on his lot. I don't have one on my lot, but I purchased the lot with the connection already made. So I'm going to have to bring my, you know, there's going to be a cost involved in the reconnection and in bringing it up to code so that we are consistent moving forward.
Gary, you have a backflow preventer at your connection, and we would just simply pick up, move it over. I mean, we took it all apart when you had your guy out there a couple of years ago.
Right. So that is acceptable then, what I have out there, and that will be reconnected, is what I'm understanding.
Yeah, they're the same. It's the same piece. We're just going to move it. The thought is, and correct me if I'm wrong, Bart, is to trench along the front of all of your lots and run a new line that's not off the 4-inch line and then connect it at that point.
So the way I look at it, so that line's going to be running right through that easement road, is it not?
Yes.
On the side of it, yeah.
On what side?
Well, we haven't even done that. We haven't gone that detail.
We haven't got that far.
And again, I don't want to waste everyone's time because there are questions and things that, so I will save my questions and concerns for when you and I meet out there, Bart.
Okay.
And we'll go out there and figure it out. Because there are some things that we need to look into, and as far as it impacting, as far as going up the lot 145, the solar panels, and where everything is going to be located. So, again, it's just one of the things we need to get out and walk it and see where we're at. Okay?
Okay.
All right, so we're starting to run over on time. Are there any other quick questions for Bart regarding the water projects?
I have one real quick comment or concern on the water rights analysis that we're doing. My concern initially always has been I hate to see us as a ranch paying a third party a ton of money to research something that we don't know or understand, and we're paying them to research it, then to turn around and try to explain to us what we should or shouldn't do. And I was told earlier on that Bart and the other guy were going to be in contact with my dad, with Dale, simply because he has all the history and records. And I found out this past week that nobody has been in contact with him whatsoever. And so we're paying somebody to go to the state and research something that not even their information is 100% accurate and up to date. And so I'm concerned that we're spending a bunch of money, and when we're done, what exactly are we going to have?
Okay, so to answer your question, every water right that Deer Springs Ranch owns, all of the communications back and forth between the state and between Dale Clarkson and other members of the board are scanned and recorded on the Division of Water Rights website. You can go into every water right and look at and pull up every document that's there. I've done it. We did not pay the water right or this water consulting firm to do any of that work. I did it. I went and downloaded every water right. I mapped those water rights. I created logs. I reviewed all the ones that are at issue. I looked at usage rates. I prepared all of that information, and then I provided it to the Riley Consulting. Why did we select this firm? This is the one that the Division of Water Rights recommends to people to use because this is what they do, and they've been recommended for their quality of work. The regional engineer in Cedar City, I reached out to him to ask about our water rights. I told him what we were doing. He said, okay, I'm glad you're doing that. But I asked him, how do we protect our water rights? I'm concerned about protecting our water rights. And then he said, and I said, hold on. Here's what we're doing. We've reached out to Riley Water Consulting. I said, oh, good, because that's what I was going to recommend you do. And then prepare this report. Now, just looking at our – and just – I kind of alluded to it earlier. Just looking at all of our water rights. You know, even if we perfected a water right, we had perfected some water rights years ago. Most of our water rights that we own, that are non-stock water, so we have stock watering rights, and we aren't required or mandated to report on them, but we can show that we have cattle usage, and that is using those water rights. Our non-stock watering rights, we have no clue. And those have been some of them were perfected 10, 15 years ago, 20 years ago, 30 years ago, but they have not been used since, and or there's no reporting of it. The recommendation is, what's the best way to? We're asking, you know, what are things we can do to perfect those water rights, or do we just leave them alone? I did reach out to Logan Riley and asked him to when he was ready in the process to contact either you, Larry, or Dale Clarkson on that matter to discuss it. So I don't want to exclude them at all, but I need him to do his third party analysis. And again, I say third party analysis. One of the issues we had here that I'm new to the association, newer than many, is I was hearing all these crazy rumors about water and what people do and the people have plans to steal our water. You know, it's just kind of all this stuff going back and forth. So we get a third party, objective third party person who's reputable to assess our water. And then they can make recommendations on it. Now they need to talk to Dale and or other people that have knowledge of the water rights. But I want that third party recommendation to kind of take away some of those biases that it seems are around, that kind of are circling around all the water discussions. So to get rid of the biases, make some recommendations. We are at risk, you know, and even though we've had a great winter and there's going to be a lot of water coming, you know, a lot of water filling our reservoirs, you know, water rights are an issue. You know, the lower states of the Colorado River, which we are tributary to the Colorado River, those lower states want water. And right now the Bureau of Reclamation is preparing a plan on Colorado River water that all the states have to comply with. If Utah, which is an upper state, gets impacted, you know, those people that aren't using their water rights or continue, you have to use them every 7 years. You have to show usage every 7 years. And we haven't done that on a lot of our water rights. You know, we could start getting haircuts and we don't want to get haircuts. So we need recommendations I'd like recommendations from Logan Riley on what we should do so we don't get haircuts. Because that, you know, we own a couple hundred acre feet of water rights that aren't being tracked well. And that's a lot of money. Well, you know, water's money, you know, time's money, all that. But if you put a dollar value on it, those are a lot of assets we're not using. And we need to use it or we could lose them.
I'm just concerned about that because I know there are a lot of places on the ranch where the diversions and ditches that fill a lot of our holding reservoirs, I maintained them for years or opened them for years just to kind of not be at risk of abandonment. But I have not done that personally for the last 5 years or so. So maybe the 7 year rule, maybe we're still kind of safe, but that's something we need to start paying attention to and spending a little time and money to reestablish so that we can at least defend ourselves to say, yes, we have put this water to beneficial use in these different areas, so we don't – our haircuts aren't as severe.
No, 100% agree. And there are ways to do it. You know, sometimes if you lease water or we have cattle rights that we lease out and, you know, they graze on our land. And sometimes you can put the onus of making sure stock water in ponds and things like that are maintained on the grazer. And so there are ways to approach it that hopefully can reduce some of our costs, but we have to do it. I mean, those are valuable rights that once we lose, we'll never get back. Just as anecdotally, you know, in the early years of the ranch, if you go on the Division of Water Rights, you look at a bunch of applications for regional water systems. It's a great idea. And we never, the ranch never acted on it. And those systems, those applications were denied. And now, the regional engineer has changed their policies for our watershed. And so now the only new water they will give is 1.73 acre feet to small landowners for home, a quarter acre irrigate, and 10 stock and 10 livestock. And so the opportunity to appropriate large amounts of water passed us by. But we still have water and we need to use it. Otherwise, if there's new development below us in the watershed, they could protest our reusing water rights in the future. If we don't get the ball rolling, if people beat us down south, which, I mean, there's low risk, it seems, of that. But if they did, or if the Bureau of Reclamation forces the state of Utah's arm in handling water rights, we would get, part of my language, screwed.
I mainly wanted to just bring this up to possibly call the attention to members to have in their mind. There are a lot of things that are needed at the ranch, and it all costs money. And so our budget, our maintenance budget on roads, on a lot of things we do for cabins, we've never invested time and money as an association into water right preservation, and it's going to bite us in the hind end if we don't do that. And so that's kind of the point in the bridge we're crossing right now.
Yeah, this is kind of the preliminary, hopefully a preliminary step to get to that. Do I have any other questions on these issues?
Thank you very much, Bart. Thanks for everybody who participated in that discussion as well. So it's time for a brief report of areas of responsibility by the board members. Sorry, just a chance to finish up anything that was left undone. Kurt, did you have anything as property manager? Sorry. Sorry, did you have anything as director of agriculture and infrastructure?
Well, we have the I took a ride out to Podunk yesterday to check on the roads for a couple reasons. A, to see if there's anything I can help with out there. And I spent the morning sitting on a flat spot. I had Kevin came out and pulled me out with the tractor. But we are moving forward with the fencing. It's a mile and an eighth long fence, and Clancy Ballard will be getting that started just as soon as it dries up. He's already cut the trail for it. I have the material in the barn, and we're going to be moving forward on that fence here, hopefully very shortly.
Great. Thank you. Larry.
The only thing that I haven't already talked about is, so in March, the ranch received a check from our Ponsagunt Landowners Association elk unit. This is different than the deer, but the elk monies, we received a check for $4,424.20, so nearly $4,500. Unfortunately, the elk program on the Ponsagunt unit was disbanded or done away with this year. The state has decided to kind of go a different direction, which I totally disagree with, but they'll see how it either crashes and burns or benefits, but we'll find out. But so we won't see any more money coming from the elk side of wildlife. But that was a $4,500 boost to our budget that I was kind of keeping a little bit of a secret because we didn't know what it was going to be. But that's going to boost us our budget a little bit this year. We still should see a significant amount out of the deer, our participation in the Deer Landowners Association this year, and then next year it may be drastically changed. We just don't know that yet.
Larry, can I chime in real quickly there?
Yes, sir.
I'm not sure if people know, but I am a non-consumptive rep on the Regional Advisory Council for the Utah Southern Region Wildlife Board, or the Board
Southern
Regional Advisory Council. And so if people have interests in these issues, they can raise them to me, and I can bring them up at those RAC meetings.
Do you have any insight on what they did with the elk? I mean, it didn't make any sense to me, but I think they're gonna damage the state's revenue on the deer hunting by bringing in so many elk hunters. Oh, they basically opened up the entire unit. It's no longer a premium limited entry elk. It's wide open. And that's gonna drastically affect and upset the deer hunters who are paying the big, big, big money. So we'll see how it shakes out, but who knows?
Just kind of in a nutshell, there's been a lot of, because of impacts to the deer herds throughout the state, you know, they're trying to control elk more, right? And elk are the, I know it seems like everyone thinks that all the ag and the grazers think elk are the bogeymen. And so, so this year they're lowering the age, the age of deer. So now the age span for buck is not spike buck, but regular buck is like, it's going down to, I think, 5 or 4. So 1 year below what they were doing. So they're really trying to expand those opportunities. Additionally, it seems like they're kind of pushing an opportunities to, for they're trying to give less control to landowners and landowners associations and CWMUs to control who can hunt on their land. And so that's kind of a bit of a, I don't like it because it seems like it affects property rights and ownership.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so that's kind of where they're going. And it seems that despite a lot of the protests from many of the RACs, they're still kind of like barreling ahead on this path. And so the board, you know, the Wildlife Board has been approving those issues.
Well, it's something we're going to have to kind of watch and pay attention. Luckily, Deer Springs Ranch is located physically in a zone that we don't house a lot of the deer early. They're above us, and then they migrate, and by the rifle hunt time, typically they're below us. And and the hunters that do their education know that, and so we have not been impacted greatly, but by doing what they've just done, we do stand the risk of now not being able to limit our access to our property. We could limit to 1 or 2 people in the past, and now we're forced to, it's wide open to, I cannot deny anybody access.
Well, I mean, if you take a look at, and it's going to be worse this year, the division is proposing decreasing permits in the northern Utah by around 4,000 during the general season, and increasing them in southern Utah by around 4,000. And we're trying to, most people on the RAC seem to be against that. Most of the comments I'm getting are saying that's a bad idea. But that would see a huge influx of people on the landscape.
Yep. Okay. Anyway, that was my main report. Cindy, was that we did get a $4,424 boost to our budget. I personally would like to see that go back into some of the wildlife things and continue with our fish pond beautification and the improvements and cleanup, not just let it get sucked into
roads.
The general fund of painting the cabin.
Got it. All right, Bart, did you have anything further?
I did not.
Did you receive any communications from memberships that we need to take up?
No, there were some individual ones concerning, you know, some new people who had purchased and were worried about impact fees, but those were minor and handled directly with Danielle.
Great. Thank you very much for that. And Michael, anything further?
Two quick items. Cindy and I have been vetting out new reservation systems, looking at various things. So hopefully in the months to come, we are going to have an updated version of the reservations. We kind of focus on one we like, and we're going to do some trial runs and see how that works out. The other item is last time I mentioned the solar eclipse and gave the wrong date. I did correct that on the website, on the Facebook page, but I'd like to correct it here for those who aren't on Facebook. It's the 14th of October, not the 13th. Other than that.
We have a time of day?
I think it's at 8 a.m. Like, it lasts for 3 hours because you've got it going into the sun and blocking it out and going out. We're in a prime spot to where you get the full ring of fire for like 6 minutes or something.
Nice.
So, anyway.
Great. Thank you for that. Did you have something else?
No, that was it. Those are my two little
items. And I've got the lens to try to photograph that, so I intend to be there.
Yes.
Great. We look forward to seeing that. Definitely. Scott, do you have anything further?
I don't have anything further, no.
Okay. Thank you.
Scott, so thank you for your help on those cabinets. Boy, it was a big, big, big deal.
Yeah.
Oh, you're welcome. I'm glad to be able to do that.
All right, so I'm going to open up the meeting to members. If anybody has anything they would like to bring up as new business or something to bring before the board, now's your chance. Okay. You know, this was kind of a technical, non-exciting, down-in-the-weeds meeting, and I appreciate everybody's patience and everybody's contributions. Thank you all for being here. I move that we adjourn the meeting.
We need to verify and set our next meeting.
Oh, I always forget that. Yeah, I've got it as May 13th.
And we usually have the May meeting here at the ranch, and I don't know if we want to play that by ear this year or not.
Let's do that. Let's play that by ear. We really would like to keep the traffic at a minimum until the roads have recovered. So we will play that by ear. A notice will go out as soon as we can get that decided.
So May 13th, and to be determined location.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
For what it's worth, I say let's have it in Mexico.
I agree. I concur.
You know what? I'm holding a space for us. Okay. So I'll put it on the table again. A motion to adjourn the meeting.
I will second.
I will third.
Aye. Fourth.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you, everybody, for coming.